In Bob, we trust.
This is how it works. What have I said repeatedly? When I talk, you listen.
Sportsnet. Sportsnet. Radio. The Fan 590.
All right, here we go.
You notice how no one wants to sit beside you?
I notice.
It's Friday, July the 8th, 2011. The radio program is on the air. It's Primetime Sports on The Fan. And
are we on TV?
Jen.
What do you two idiots do?
Giddy up.
What do you need a headset for?
Comfort. I just like to hear what's going on. There, that's much better.
So he likes to hear himself.
I like to hear what all of you are saying. My hearing's not that good.
Like, who is the guy on...
too many concerts. I've been two or three.
You know, on Laugh-In.
Gary Owens.
Gary, very good.
But the other guy that we talked
used
about...
Used to do have the thing on his ear there.
That's right.
When but you Dan, see
Danny
news
Gallivan,
happen
well, Bob
you.
Cole still does. He does the whole game, pinching his ear.
Oh.
What's the idea?
Hear resonance in your... In your voice.
Maybe I should. No, it doesn't work.
Come in, Phnom Penh. Damian Cox to my right, Stephen Brunt to my left, John Shannon to my far left. Also, we have concluded enjoying, except for Brunt, who still has onion rings, some tasty delights from our friends at Heroes Certified Burgers.
Love these guys.
Yum, yum.
That's very good. Smokes.
So thank you very much, and... Brunt will be chomping down on onion rings.
I will.
Because he needs his vegetables.
That's right. I wanted a vegetable. It's the only one available.
No veggies in Germany?
There were nice vegetables in Germany. Yes, no, I ate very well in Germany.
See, that's the one thing in England. Try to get a good salad in England.
Oh.
Next to impossible.
Really?
Do next tell. To impossible.
How about a steak?
No, you can get all kinds of
no,
stuff.
No, you can get
a salad.
Bad piece of meat, lots of gristle. Peppercorns all over it to cover up the taste.
When was the last time you were in England?
1983.
How'd you get there? Were there ships running or what?
No, I was drugged.
The St. Mary was going over. In London, they've disguised everything with that green stuff called rocket, which is utterly bitter.
Well, arugula. You can get a good curry anywhere you.
Darn right.
You
know. Great Indian food.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
I don't know if we even had a topic, but. That was most interesting. How did we get on that?
I don't know.
How was your trip, by the way? You did an excellent job of promoting women's soccer.
I did. Yes, I did.
And
let's just say it'll never be the same again.
No, it was a lovely trip. Not the story I thought I was going to tell, but I think that would be the same for
really?
All the rest of us who were there. Yeah. Kind of went pear-shaped very quickly.
Pear-shaped?
And so what happened to the girly footy?
Well,
we're not really going to do a segment on this.
I guess we are.
No, I'm going to go out and refill my coffee.
The short version.
No, we're not going to do it.
The short version of what happened is that there's 16 teams in the tournament, and we finished 16th.
Mm-hmm. We stink.
Well, they played. They did not play well, and but everybody else got a lot better. Like the world is getting better, and we were kind of.
How come we didn't get better?
We kind of fooled ourselves. Well, that's you don't want to get into.
Was that the long story?
Why don't we want to get into that?
Well, the whole let's get into the entire structure of soccer in Canada and you know
well
how we produce national teams.
We've got 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, I got the sense that this was less about. So there's this cat fight some months ago between the coach and the team
about 2 months ago
and the CSA, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the CSA eventually has to cave. The coach gets to do what she wants. The players are happier or whatever.
Yeah,
something
yeah.
So are you suggesting there are guys at the CSA that are happier today than they were before?
What, because she lost?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, they were not overly visible in Germany. Actually, they were not there, shockingly. And as things went downhill, they didn't get any more visible. I think they sat back in Ottawa and said, boy, that's not our problem. And their nemesis, they let her swing, I think, basically.
Now, did she not cart them all off to Italy and surround and import all kinds of Italian coaches and Italian this and Italian that?
Yes.
And force them to eat pasta.
She did force them to eat pasta, yes. Now, what she would tell you is that she would have happily done all of that in North America, but that there was no way of doing it in North America, that she didn't have the money or the support from the CSA to do it. And the most easiest and most cost-efficient way to make sure that they had enough matches and the right kind of training and the right kind of situation was to do it in Italy.
Oh, okay.
So, but she also happened to like it in Italy. She seems to like Italians a lot because her entire staff was Italian.
I think these two are
conspiring,
texting each other across the desk.
We got the same email at the same time.
Isn't it possible that this desk might be too wide if the two people on the outside are texting each other?
No, we're not texting each other. I was holding up. I was amazed he could read it. It was just a little hockey trade. I didn't know if he knew that
little,
it was.
Let's stop right here. Then.
No, that's why I didn't break in. Newsflash.
Okay.
Damien
Cox has learned.
Confirmed.
What do we got there?
No, it's just a little hockey trade. We'll try it. We'll talk about it later.
What is the name you can't pronounce? Let me help you.
Fourth round pick.
Eric Fair, who's a pretty good right winger for the Washington Capitals and a former first round pick. So they've added some guys, so the Washington Capitals had to send him packing. And he's a good player.
So he's gone to Winnipeg for a fourth round pick.
So isn't it nice to all of a sudden hear Winnipeg is like making hockey trades
again? Yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
Capitals acquire fourth round draft pick in the 2012 NHL entry draft and right wing Danik Paquette.
Don't know him.
Well, clearly, you didn't even mention him. From Winnipeg. For right wing Eric Fair.
Well, I'm sure they're trying to, I don't know what he'd be making, but I'm sure they're trying to get out. They probably needed to move a bit of money.
Yeah. And Fair's he played in the Western League, played in Brandon, yeah. I think. And
Troy Brower's kind of the way they're trying to go now, exactly. A little more. So there you go. That's all. I didn't want to interrupt.
No, it was worth it. It was worth it.
Now we go back to our regular scheduled program.
That's okay. No, I think that's.
We don't have one of those.
I think there's people who are just as interested in that as are interested in women's soccer.
There you go.
I think that's probably
more.
Yeah. I think that's probably
true. So from the Eric Fair trade back to women's soccer.
Well, I'm not really that interested in women's soccer, but I am interested in controversy.
Yes, you're stirring the pot.
Yes. And I do savor these last couple of weeks.
Should we fire the coach?
We don't actually have anybody else to coach the team, so that would be they have no
minor detail,
and they've got to get ready in January or February, right? They've got to try to qualify for the Olympics, which they could do, right?
Yeah, Olympic qualifying. Well, there's two teams come out of CONCACAF, so the North and Central America. The Americans would be probably conceded one of those spots.
Wait a second, how many teams are in CONCACAF?
Well, there's a bunch, you know,
lots of little countries.
I think that's an eight team tournament. And normally you would say Canada would go through with
so
the Americans.
So two out of eight.
Yeah.
But now all bets are off.
Well, it was.
How are they going to do this? Are they going to play this on grass?
No, they're going to play on field turf.
So that's not going to make the South Americans happy at all.
No, it's also not going to make Carolina Maracci, the Canadian. She's already grousing about that, having to play on turf, the Canadian coach. So we're kind of lining up the reasons why we're not going to qualify already.
Oh.
But I'll tell you, we stayed in the same hotel as the team. The what was left of the press contingent stayed in the same hotel as the team.
Because everybody bolted after
Yes, except for Laura Ewing from Canadian Press and me. We're the only two left. But we were in the last few days, so in Dresden before they played that game against Nigeria.
What a perfect place to have it.
Yes. And it was miserable. And I don't think Maracci spoke to her players. She's mad at her players, which is not a good kind of professional environment. She was actually mad at them for screwing up. And because it wasn't her fault, of course.
Of course.
And it was this horrible, tense place where you didn't want to make eye contact with anyone. It just felt bad, you know. The players, they're nice young women. They're
trying hard.
Yeah, and they were shattered, right? And their own coach wasn't speaking to them. It was a long 4 days before they then went out and lost to Nigeria.
So why can't we fire her?
Nobody else.
Oh.
Well, there are coaches. People.
Yeah, but there's no one in Canada right now who could take that program on. And you got 4 months. No one on her staff. If they fired her, no one on her staff would take that job. They would
The Olympic qualifiers in 4 months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, really, what do you need a coach for? You see?
There you go.
You see?
Once again, Bob shines his
X-ray vision on the story and comes up with
the reality.
In the the reality is, in the absence of, you really don't need a coach.
I think soccer is one of those sports where you really need a coach.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Well, baseball, you don't need a manager. Soccer, you need a coach.
Well, what? So for when the times when the players come over to the bench and get instructions during the game, it never happens.
No, but it's all done before, and it's how they're going to play and who's going to play where and who you're going to put in the lineup and if you when you have to make a substitute. Yeah,
it's
a tactic
of soccer
thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure our tactics were that great, by the way, but that's a whole
Well, they're better than they used to. We used to play dump and chase.
We played dump and chase. We got to the semifinals.
Well, I mean, my wife, who played at a high level of soccer and knows a lot of these people, yeah, used to be infuriated by the way we'd play.
Yes.
We'd play dump and chase along with goon tactics. So, we'd try to beat up on the Brazilians.
But Jim Lack was the coach of the soccer team.
But as with hockey, sometimes you have to play. If you can't play like the
skilled,
yeah, like the 1980s Edmonton Oilers,
you got to dump it in.
You best find another way because it gives you a better chance to win, and that's what we did. You know, we took advantage. They took advantage of the fact that the Canadian women were good athletes, big, strong, tall women, and so you just played it vertical and hope for the best. And they did. They got to the Final Four. You know, they made it to the semifinals in the World Cup. Now they're trying to play a game that, you know, we don't seem to play
and now they're breaking our best player's nose.
And they did that too, yes.
Was that a dirty play, by the way?
I believe it was deliberate. I thought it was inadvertent, but
no, deliberate.
Would you categorize in the same like an Aaron Rome type hit?
It was clearly a suspendable offense.
Suspendable offense.
Brendan Shanahan ruled it at rule 48.
It did
blindside hit to the head.
Not a lateral hit.
It did make a mess of her schnoz, though. Her nose was kind of
sideways,
pointing the wrong way.
That was the freaky mask she had on there for a while.
No, but then they did the thing with the two fingers and fixed her nose.
Got the willies.
When the doctor comes in and says, this might hurt a bit, you better get all the painkillers you can possibly find because you know it's going to kill. Because when they say this isn't going to hurt, it does. When they say this is going to hurt, look at him.
Now, the other weird thing that happened there was that over the broken nose.
By the way, I'd still fire the coach.
Well, you might fire
him. I recall during my my days as a great soccer player at a general career or a public school.
Yes.
That, I recall the excellence with which I played the game. I have no recollection of the teachings of our coach. I don't remember who the coach was.
Well, what position
or
were
he
you?
Or she.
What position did you
left out. No, I was a I was a forward of some sort. I was an attacker.
And you played a 2-5-4? What'd you play? A 5-3-2? What'd you play?
I think it was 5-3-2.
A 2-5-4?
First of all,
that's illegal.
Here's what I remember.
Illegal. There's no goalie.
You just got to take the goal around.
That's right.
You can explain the offside rule here, Bob?
Yeah. Well, no, when they used to draw it up. Hold it up to the camera so everybody can see.
We're not on TV.
I'm going to get to it. Yeah, we are.
Oh. I just assume we're always on TV.
And then you had three guys back here. And then you had two guys back here.
It's a 5-3-2.
That would be an orthodox formation.
There it is.
Yeah, did you guys win any games?
No, I'm playing
all of them.
Oh, do you?
Kicked ass and took names.
Excellent.
So, but I don't remember who the coach was.
Can we go back to the Eric Fair trade then?
Which leads me to the suggestion that I don't think you really need one. I'd fire her.
Brett was about to tell
about
a story.
To tell her her.
Let him tell a story.
You want me to tell a story? Do we have time? Do I have time to tell a story?
We have time.
Grief.
The great Christine Sinclair drama, which we were all a party to. They knew the night in Berlin after they fixed her nose up, as Bob described it, they knew she was going to play and in the next match against France. And the coach decided that it would be a great tactical advantage. European coaches have a lot of these kind of, this is the kind of way their heads operate sometimes. But if the French didn't know. Now, of course, it's sort of like hockey too, right? We won't tell them what the injury is. So not only did they spin this story that she might not be able to play at great danger to herself, they got the players. She got her own players to go out and
lie.
Yes,
that's not good.
No, it's not good. No,
what's
it's not
the point
good
of
at
that,
all.
Huh?
Well, the point is they got whooped by the French, so they weren't that distracted, it would appear. And it's kind of it was kind of just disappointing, you know. I don't want to sound naive, but it was, especially when you were faced up with these players who came out and said, "Oh no, we don't think she's going to play." They all knew she was going to play, and so I take nothing away from her playing. You know it. it did show a lot of guts, and especially showed a lot of guts when she played in the Germany game right after having it happen. But it was weird that they spun it that way.
Hmm.
Do we have a picture of the coach we can put up for TV? Throw a picture of the coach up. What's her name?
Carolina Morace.
It's sort of a Steffi Graf kind of, maybe a tad constipated look. Don't you think?
Well, that's most of the shots of her in the last match were with her arms folded, looking
disgusting.
Looks like
she's sitting in some sort of comfy chair there.
They have those.
They have very comfy chairs.
This is no good
for soccer,
people who are listening to us on radio right now, but
they let the coaches sit.
Sitting in a big blue comfy chair, like a spaceship.
Like I always thought Steffi Graf, I mean, who I'm sure is a lovely, lovely, lovely lady. I mean, Andre Agassi likes her a lot. I always thought she was just a little too serious out there. Do you feel that during her career?
I'll have to think about that.
And I think this one is the same. I don't like her at all because she's too serious.
Oh, you'd like her to be a little bit more flirty, a little more airheaded?
Well, and when you're down three goals to the French cracking jokes, you know?
Well, I don't want you sitting there moping. Which was what I thought I saw her do every time I saw a shot in the highlights, because I never watched
I think she was angry. I think it was beyond moping. I think she was really, really angry.
Well, she obviously, whatever tactics she used, yes, it didn't work.
But she's actually she's really smart. She's a bit manipulative.
A bit.
And quite fascinating in a lot of ways. But no, she was mostly angry.
Don't want to fire her?
I don't think they can. I don't think they've got time to restart.
Can we get Bob Leonarduzzi in here somewhere? Isn't he our answer to everything in soccer?
He could be, yes.
Steffi Graf without laxatives, that's what I think it is. All right, when we come back, we'll
that's a bit vicious.
We'll actually try and find... Well, that's what I do. You don't have to be here. You don't have to be a party to it. You've had your hamburger. You can leave now.
Contractually obligated at this point.
We're the ones who are unfortunately contractually obligated. When we come back, the Blue Jays scenario.
Boy, that one hurt last night. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
And some legal stuff. Brad Richards, the circumventing the cap. Should you do it? Shouldn't you do it? What's fair? What's not fair? All that when the roundtable continues on primetime. You're listening on The Fan, watching on Rogers Sportsnet.
Blue Jays baseball. The Jays and the Indians. Tonight at 7. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Almost 24. Bob McCowan, Damian Cox, Stephen Brunt, John Shannon.
Part two of the women's soccer discussion now?
They're in over the line. They're not waiting. Here's the thing. We talked a little bit about it in the last hour with fans. Between Frank Francisco, John Rauch, and Octavio Dotel, you have no closer. And this is a big problem for the Toronto Blue Jays. I didn't realize how much until Shannon pointed out to me. You want to give him the statistic, Shanny?
14 blown saves in 33 chances.
That is stunningly bad.
Seven times when leading after six. Six times when leading after seven. And five times when leading through eight.
Wow.
That is shockingly bad.
But 14, I mean...
And a couple of them of the spectacular variety.
Well, last night
was spectacular. And the game in Anaheim, right? Remember that one? They had six or seven run
ended
lead.
Ended up being about a 13-inning game, I think.
Yeah, and they ended up walking a bunch of people and doing that. I thought the bullpen was supposed to be the strength of this team, or one of the strengths.
No, they're young pitching staff.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the bullpen... at least not the ass end of the bullpen, based on this.
But they'd be better with Kevin Gregg.
I don't know about that. I mean, I know you think that.
Well,
Gregg blow last year?
Well, some. Plenty. I would
less
say
than 14.
He might have a point.
He may have
a point there.
Under 14.
Yeah.
I would say Kevin Gregg would fit in with this group very nicely. That's what I would say. No, I would have been looking for a sharp objects or a tall building if they brought Kevin Gregg back. Honestly, I did not. I did not want to watch another Kevin Gregg performance.
And they were paying Kevin Gregg, too.
Yeah. These three guys.
These guys are getting paid, too, aren't they?
Oh, these guys are all terrible, too.
Yeah, but neither one of these three guys gave up the Grand Slam last night.
It's not surprising that these three guys were made available to the Toronto Blue Jays in whatever fashion. because none of them are any good.
Well, they're
no, so
they're,
now the question is, what do you do? And do you move somebody to the bullpen? I don't know. I mean, the most logical candidate for this would be somebody like Dustin McGowan, but we don't even know if he's even close to being ready. And I say that because McGowan is a guy who has was a hard thrower.
I was going to say,
usually that's what you want.
So you wouldn't think about Brandon Morrow, eh?
Only six blown saves for
that's last
Forrest
I checked.
Greg
that's less than 14.
Year.
Definitely less than 14.
By how many?
Eight, Bob.
You know, by the way, you know who's leading the American League? I believe in saves. Brandon League.
No way.
Yeah, I think he has 23 for the Seattle. I thought I saw that today.
Get the bleep out of here. Brandon League? Pick the wrong.
So. Check that.
Pick the wrong guy to give up, huh?
Well, the guy for Brandon Morrow, I think I'd still make that trade right now.
Well, we don't know. We're still, like, we think, Brandon Morrow, you're kind of still waiting. I mean,
he was pretty good.
Am I right on that one?
He was pretty good.
Yeah. That's weird, eh?
I'll still make that trade right now.
Yeah. Oh, look, Brandon League had plenty of opportunities with the Toronto Blue Jays to demonstrate that he could be something and didn't.
Well, he had moments and then he didn't have moments. And
sure, he did.
There you go. And he's, well, and he may be a guy who's, you know, he had a hard time throwing strikes here. He may have become a guy who throws strikes.
Now he's had 23 moments this year, which is better than 14 as well, I believe.
Well, he's not. That doesn't make him Mariano Rivera, though. So, you know, these guys do come in.
You're being very defensive of the situation.
No, I just don't think it's that, you know, you got to take a little longer view on this. And, Francisco was the closest thing they had to a hard throwing. What Bob was talking about, kind of a classic closer. Dotel's not that. Rauch is not that. You know, Dotel can only throw to guys hitting from one side of the plate, and Rauch is not that kind of guy. Although, you know, he's had some success.
He's scary.
But just, they're not going to go out and, you know, there are a two or three absolute blue chip long-term guys, the Papel Bonds, the Mariano Riveras, and then everybody else, you know, guys kind of come
and go.
And they kind of go.
Yeah.
I think the closer here is going to be probably one of their guys next year. It'll maybe Zach Stewart, maybe someone like that. They'll one of their guys, or they'll go
Stewart
by
doesn't
committee.
Have that. He's another soft thrower.
No,
that's what I said about, like, when I just threw out Brandon Morrow's name.
I think
he's the guy that they can't. They don't believe can.
Well,
pitch a whole lot of innings.
Yeah, but this was he in Seattle. He was in that. He was in the bullpen. They moved him back to starting when the Blue Jays got him.
But you're making it sound like to find a closer other than, you know, what Boston and the Yankees have. Is almost like throwing darts at a dartboard.
That's exactly what it is.
Hopefully one sticks.
I think that's exactly what it is, and it's a dangerous thing to get caught into, up with, because more often than not, as Brunt pointed out, these guys come up, they look like the next great thing, and 2 years later, they can't get anybody out. Billy Koch was a perfect example of that kind of guy. Even Tom Henke, lest we forget, it took him a long time, and then his moment at the in the sun and at the top was pretty brief.
Yeah,
Dwayne Ward's time was he didn't have a long period as a closer. Go back to Bruce Sutter. How long was Bruce Sutter a premier closer?
8 years, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, between the two cities.
But even that. For one, this is a guy who's acknowledged as one of the maybe the five, certainly in the five greatest closers of all time.
I mean, the best example I think is one again. Was Bill Cottle. Remember, Cottle came from Seattle with all the hype of being the ultimate closer,
and then he couldn't do anything.
And then he couldn't. Well, he couldn't.
So the answer here I'm getting is helplessness.
Lottery pick.
Nothing
you need
we
to find
can
a lottery.
Do.
Well, you need to win
who would
the lottery.
You, who would you go get?
I don't know.
Well,
I'm saying,
if you're going to suggest it, name someone.
No, but I'm saying there's a general
manager. I would never trade for a closer.
No, neither would I.
No, but there's a general manager in this city who's getting a lot of credit for the things he's done to build this ball club. The ball club's now five games under 500.
But that's not a surprise on any level, though.
Well, it's a bit of a surprise. This guy, it would be, he thought they were going to win 88. What did you say? 80?
No, 85.
Some people thought this would be an improved team, not a playoff team necessarily, but an improved team. But these are painful losses that you can say, like, not every loss is created equally. And these are painful losses that really start to chip away at anything you might have. There's nothing you can do. There's nobody out there you can try to add to try somebody else. We've established the guys they've had can't do it, right?
Right.
Do you think one of these guys, Rauch or Dotel Or maybe Francisco. I guess you want to hang in there a little bit long with Francisco.
Yeah, I would think I would hang in a little bit longer with Francisco. You know, his velocity, like he was, you know, what the...
Right.
He, for whatever, he's had pretty good velocity. He's actually
he can't throw
pretty
strikes,
well
but apparently he can throw F-bombs.
Well, no, but he couldn't throw, you know, he wasn't. It was pretty evident, pretty fast last night that he didn't have a whole lot last night. But again, I think that, you know, this is a longer project and, you know, not a lot longer. It's a year longer or 2 years longer. And it's not about, one game in 162, that was a gutting loss, horrible way to lose. Everybody's angry. The manager's angry. But, you know, I'm looking out there and Travis Snyder's hitting the ball. His mechanics are back, having good at-bats. Eric Thames is in the outfield. He's an interesting guy. Bautista playing third minute. Unbelievable kind of Brooks Robinson play last night. He's right. Not going to be there long-term, ideally. A lot of the pieces here are fitting in. And they may finish 10 games under 500 this year. That may well happen. But that's not what this season's about.
But do you run the risk of finishing 25 games under 500 and having a real issue?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think you've got enough pitching and I think you've got enough core offense on this team that no, you're not going to go completely in the soup.
There were a lot of pundits out there that said this team would win 70 games this year. And a lot of people rolled their eyes and said, no, they're going to be a 500 baseball club. But going 92
and
70
could very easily be a 500 club.
Well, I think they were hoping they were going to get more out of Cecil. They were hoping they were going to get more out of Drabek right there. A couple of guys.
And Travis Snyder's supposed to be here all year.
And Travis Snyder. But you know what? They've had, there were a lot of people who also thought, well, they're not going to get the same out of Jose Bautista. Well, they're getting the same, maybe even more.
Oh, they're getting more.
Adam Lind has come back. Yeah, the vengeance.
I don't feel panicky about any of this right now.
And, I don't think it's a question of panic. My question was simply, don't you try to do something? I'm not saying go out and trade your best prospects to get some guy.
But I do agree with Damian to an extent here in that, you know, you do see building blocks. There's Bautista's a building block. Lynn's a building block. I mean, some of the young pitchers can still be that. But after the sixth inning, do you see any potential building blocks or is that something you go out and rent for 2 years?
There's nothing more devastating in a clubhouse than a blown save. The only thing that's more devastating is repeated blown saves.
I was going to say, the only thing more devastating is 14.
Yeah, and that's what you have on this club. And they are past the point, I'm quite certain, to a man on that team, they roll their eyes when they get to the eighth or ninth inning and in comes one of those arsonists.
Well, and you don't
blame them. And that's it's very difficult for a ball club to play and be optimistic and enthusiastic and to teach and learn and on and just go through the motions when you feel like, oh my God, are we going to, you know, we fought our asses off for eight innings and now this.
Well, I mean, and Travis Hafner's got his swing back, but who gives up a grand slam to lose a game?
Well, I mean, everything happens. You know, it happens from time to time. I mean, but it's less about last night, more about, as John said,
I don't see
13
any,
times.
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, the one thing you risk with the young guys is that how much it will bother them the next day and the day after, and can they get out of it at some point?
I'd be interested in knowing what the average number of blown saves in the American League is this year.
Well, I mean, it's less than 14, I can tell you that.
So what, five? Might that be
isn't that why you have
number?
A crack research staff to give you those kind of numbers?
But they're on vacation in there.
The awful thing, I think, last night is if that doesn't happen, if, obviously, and games are won and lost in different ways. Last night's about Carlos Villanueva and how maybe he's now the number three guy in the rotation suddenly. And boy, has he pitched well. And instead, that even though he had nothing to do with the blown save, that's all lost, and all you're talking about is the bullpen.
But Villanueva,
and that's why these are destructive.
Would he throw 30 pitches in the first inning? Like, Villanueva is going to be a long reliever before the season's over.
I don't know.
Well, maybe he'll be a closer.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
No, he'll be a long reliever before the season's over.
He was a long reliever. No. Now he's become one of their more reliable starters.
Won't be the closer if he's allowing 30 pitches in an inning, that's for sure.
Wow. Yeah, the other three guys can't. You know, they don't get to 30 pitches because by that point, they've already hit enough of them out that the game has ended. They've blown the save. They'd like to get to 30 pitches because it actually means a few guys might have missed a few of them. So far, there's no danger of that happening.
By the way, did you see Villanueva hit that kid in the head last night? Ooh, that was nasty. That was nasty. You really thought that there was a possibility he was going to be seriously injured on that. It looked like it hit him in the face.
I think it caught a piece of the ear flap, though.
That maybe saved him a little bit, but that was an ugly moment.
Do we have anything else?
You're studying what?
Well, no, I want to talk a little bit about, I thought we should talk a little bit about the umpiring situation because it has been an issue this week.
Wasn't an issue last night.
It wasn't an issue in the game. No, but it's been an issue this week and it's morphed into a conversation about instant replay and some other things. So let's take a couple of minutes and talk about that. When we come back and Primetime continues on The Fan and Sportsnet.
Sportsnet Radio. The Fan 590.
All right. We have a show to do here. With Damian Cox, Stephen Brunt, John Shannon, I'm Bob McCown. Umpiring, that's what it was, umpiring. I know there was something we were going to talk about. So earlier in the week, there's a play. It actually involves the Toronto Blue Jays and Edwin Encarnacion sliding around the Boston catcher, who appears to miss him with his initial effort, then puts a tag on him, but it appears that by that point, Encarnacion's back foot is right foot, it crossed home plate, and he probably should have been called safe, whatever. The issue came, it was an important play because it would have tied the game. As it was the final out in a 3-2 loss. It brought us back to, okay, we have replay of this. It appears on the replay that he should have been called safe. Therefore, shouldn't we be using the replay? And I think for me, the answer for some period of time has been, hell yes. With the understanding and acknowledgement that, like anything else, you don't want to overuse it. You want to have to find a way where it has some limited use. But I do not see why instant replay could not be used at any of the four bases. Shannon, your thoughts?
Well, I know what baseball traditionalists are going to say, and because if you treat home plate differently than you treat bases 1 through 3, you've got an issue in this game because there's so much movement away from the ball. My gut tells me that will be the major excuse in the world of baseball, that they won't do it for that very reason, because not every base or plate is covered the same way in every building. I'm one of those guys that if you were able to limit it, for me, to a scoring play, a play at home plate, I might buy it rather than worrying about 1 through 3 and trusting the umpires on first base, second base, and third.
Okay, before I come back to that, your thoughts, Stephen.
I've used it second base, so you never have a guy out on a double play because they don't ever touch the bag.
Well, maybe you'd have to teach them how to touch.
Then you have a lot of broken legs and ankles if you do that. You know, it's true, right? There's all phantom touches. I think you could use it at home plate. I think that's. I don't know that you want it at every base. I just, again, for that reason, I think that there are situations like that where they don't call the game that way. So, you know, at second base. But I think, yeah, close plays at the plate, give the umpire the option of going to take a look at it like they do in basketball, where they give the umpire, the referees an option of going to look at a replay
right,
if they want to clarify for themselves.
Damian?
I'm trying to think of a sport where they've tried to use replay and it's worked badly when they've expanded it.
Well, the first time we went to the NFL.
The NFL, but other than that.
I don't agree with that. I mean, they thought they didn't like it because it took too long.
It down to 40 problem, minutes right? extra on
but
a
I think
game.
We'd agree it works in the NHL.
Yeah.
It works in the NBA for what they use it for.
Works beautifully in tennis.
Tennis is the best of all.
Tennis is the easiest.
Right. They don't use it at all in soccer correct?
No, they don't. Lots of pressure to do it after the World Cup last year, but yes.
Right. It's when we talk about the NFL, it's worked pretty well in the CFL too.
It has.
I guess the answer to that then for me is I can't see what the problem is. Like if you can make the better calls,
but the problem,
particularly on scoring plays, I don't know where you stop. In hockey, I'm quite comfortable where they're at. It's about mostly goals. Yeah. You know,
so why can't it be the same in baseball then?
So if it's a scoring play, You know, I'm not so worried about a guy missing the call at first base. You know, you're going to get some, you're not going to get some.
But what about,
I
what
like
about,
it on the, wait they, a they use what it about for the home
scoring,
runs.
What about the scoring? And I agree with you, but what about the guy who, you know, they score at home plate, but this, the force out at second base to, for the third out, and that becomes the controversy away from home plate.
I'm okay with that. I mean, I think all these sports, even the ones that have used it successfully, I think tennis would be the exception because it's so black and white. All these sports still have some human error built in, and people seem basically okay with that.
Here, look, I think you guys are missing sort of a point here, and that is that there is a system that clearly works, and that is the challenge system. It exists in the National Football League. It exists in tennis, mm-hmm. where you get a limited number of opportunities to challenge calls. So you don't have this parade to the replay booth.
But you know the one thing
on every play.
But before you go on about that, the one reason why it works in tennis is that it's really fast.
Yeah, it's incredibly quick.
Well, whereas the other sports, it can get very slow.
Well, and it's in tennis, it's pure technology. It's,
and people actually that are in the stands enjoy it.
They're involved.
They participate in it.
Arguably, it is impossible to slow down a baseball game. It can't be done. So I don't think anybody is really going to be worried about it if it happens two or three times. Here's what I'd like to see. I mean, and look, this is not the definitive answer necessarily, but give each team two opportunities during the course of a game. If you challenge a call and you are right, you don't lose the opportunity. You still keep that those two opportunities. And away you go. I think then it's not overused. Then you better be pretty sure that you're getting it right. Maybe there's some way of creating some kind of, I don't know what it could be, a fine?
An out.
Well, no.
Lose an out.
That, no, then you're really.
No, then well, you, I know, but.
But then you're messing with the heritage of the game.
We're messing with the heritage of the game now, Bob, with this.
Not really. It's still the game.
What are you
it's
saying they can challenge?
At any base. Challenge any call at any base.
Boy.
Why not challenge fair or foul? Only thing you can't challenge is balls and strikes. And the only reason I say that is because I don't think the technology is ready for balls and strikes.
I agree with that.
What are they using it for now, though?
Home runs
only, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is the most ridiculous thing because it's the least impactful, to be honest with you. It happens so seldom. And so seldom do you really need a replay to determine whether it's a home run or not. Mm. No, you really don't.
The problem but is it's different. You've got those.
Couldn't you just add one thing, though? Place at the plate.
Yeah.
Just one thing. What's the big deal? How many plays of the plate are there that really matter, that are close?
Well, then you not go, that then, often. Then you just define it as scoring plays.
Yeah. No. I don't want...
But a play at the plate is a scoring play, invariably.
Right, but...
It's the same thing. You just don't get caught with his, you know, he's trying to twist the language.
That's not like me.
He's trying to write this like Rule 48.
That's what I'm going to say.
Lateral yes, one side.
And I'll tell you why.
Play.
I don't know why. Why would you want to limit it? A play at first base that ultimately where a guy is safe.
Because I don't want to replay all the time. That's why.
Well, I understand.
That's
you
why
don't,
I want to limit
I'm still going to limit the number of replays under any circumstance, no matter where they are. You can't have more than two.
I think every almost. I would say pretty much every game has one or two bang-bang plays at first. So that's two you're going to have every game.
Listen, fans in Minnesota will tell you that if you're going to do replay, you better do fair and foul.
Look, the only thing I ask for is if you're, you know, right now if you go to a game here in Toronto at the Rogers Centre, formerly the SkyDome.
Yes.
Sit in the stands. Okay. How many replays?
When do you do that?
How many replays will you see?
None.
None.
Yeah, they don't show them.
They don't show them anymore.
But that's Major League Baseball.
Yes. Well, I believe that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about.
It's not as if it's the Blue Jay policy. You can go to any Major League. It doesn't have to be this.
This is of no consequence to me. I'm only going to this one ballpark.
Okay. Whose policy it is
irrelevant to me.
Thank you, Bob.
Here is the point. The point is, if you're going to institute instant replay, then you damn well better show it to the 12 or 42,000 that happen to be in the park.
They don't do that in hockey, and they do it in tennis. They don't do it in the NFL.
They do it in tennis.
Not while it's
they do it in tennis. It's up on the screen,
right? It's like everybody's seeing it at the same time.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't see it. You do see it in hockey now, but it's not.
It's after the fact,
judgment.
Not after while the it's. Right. I never understand that. So
okay,
I'm sitting at home
with that.
No, but I'm sitting at home on my PV, and I can go, and they're showing it over and over. But if I paid the money to be at the rink,
right.
I don't get it.
You see it? It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It really is. Now, it starts people screaming and all kinds of
stuff. It doesn't
say they're going to scream anyways.
Yeah. Well, so what? What are they going to do? Are they going to rip the place down? Is there going to be a riot? Only in Montreal.
Or Vancouver.
I believe Vancouver would be the more current example.
Rio de Janeiro?
Yeah, that's possible.
Depends which way the call goes. Or not.
Yeah, so look, I mean, I love the tennis thing, the Cyclops, not the cycle, whatever that
Hawkeye.
Thing.
Hawkeye.
But by the way,
a tennis.
Like, it isn't even a ball. It's an animation of a ball.
It's amazing, actually.
No idea whether it's accurate. And the thing is, I've never questioned it.
Well, you know what? No.
It's a computer game, and it must be right.
Roger Federer doesn't believe it's accurate.
He thinks it's a pile of hooey.
He thinks it's wrong. And he's wrong more than anybody.
It's a complete scam.
Well, but it's not on the other thing, even at Wimbledon, it's not on every court.
Correct.
It's only at center court.
That's right.
See, and I do have, maybe I'm with Federer with this, because it does occur to me every now and again that there's a guy in a booth.
With a little toggle.
Playing pong.
Yes. And he is, Klaus, what do you think? This one, in, out, out, Klaus. Okay, boom, presses the B button. Oh, was that? Next one, what do you think, Klaus? We'll put this one in. Okay, boom. Yay!
That's good. Attaboy, Klaus.
It could be just a complete scam. Never trust anybody named Klaus. We got more ahead. Primetime continues. You're listening on The Fan, watching on Rogers Sportsnet.